From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, you're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. When it comes to potatoes, Idaho is the number one producer in the United States, growing nearly 30% of our nation's supply. However, like many other areas of the country, our state is feeling the impacts of climate change. We're experiencing shortages in the famous crop just as recently as last year, which is why many farmers are making a shift towards regenerative agriculture using sustainable practices that have the potential to forever change the industry. So joining us now to talk more about this new method of farming are fourth-generation farmer and owner of Roots Potato Chips, Ladd Wallen, along with Brad Johnson, Agricultural Strategy Manager for the Nature Conservancy. So, Brad, can I start the conversation with you? Could you tell us what regenerative agriculture is?
Regenerative agriculture is just using more of a nature-based approach to production, letting the soil provide more for the plants, not disturbing the soil as much, and just using more, not organic at all, but more natural type practices to grow your crop.
So, Brad, how does regenerative farming work then when it comes to specifically to growing potatoes?
Well, we reduce the tillage as much as possible, stretch out our crop rotations, meaning we'll do a more diverse crop rotation. We'll have grains in there, some legumes in there, and try to go at least 3 years before you put potatoes back on the ground.
So, Ladd, as I mentioned, you're a fourth-generation farmer. You are very familiar with these practices. Can you talk to us about what kind of impact tilling actually has on soil?
Yeah, so I think it's a pretty well-understood fact that any amount of tillage disrupts soil aggregates and biology and is somewhat destructive, although sometimes it is necessary. For example, in potato production, a certain amount of tillage is necessary, but our aim with regenerative agriculture, especially in the approach to potatoes, I think is we're really focusing on that minimum tillage in those off years or those rotational years where we're focusing on other crops and cover crops where we can no-till and minimum till. And then when we approach potatoes in potato production years, we're still focusing on minimizing tillage, like Brad said, to the most that we can, because we know tillage can be destructive. When we minimize tillage, we are enhancing soil biology and health and structure, water holding capacity, and so many other things.
So, Ladd, I'm curious, though, then, how is growing this crop, specifically potatoes, with these regenerative practices been? I mean, are there challenges? Is this, you know, an easy transition? Or what's that been like?
Yeah, so absolutely. That's a great question. So the regenerative agriculture approach to potatoes is very different because there's not a lot of research or history with it. A lot of regenerative agriculture focuses on a lot of other commodities like grains and corn or soybeans or whatever it may be. But with a root vegetable like potatoes, there's just not a lot of historical documentation about regenerative agriculture. So a lot of things that we're doing are new and different, and there's not a lot of data. So we're doing a lot of things that are different. It's a different approach, but we have seen benefits. And I've always been very interested in sustainable practices as far as cover cropping and minimum tillage and diversity. But as we're doing this project with the Nature Conservancy, Brad and Neil, they've brought in a whole host of knowledge and expertise in this area where we're starting to apply different things to potatoes to show how regenerative agriculture can really work and work successfully in potatoes.
So, Ladd, you did mention that there are benefits of this practice of regenerative farming. Can you give us some specifics of what you've seen some of the benefits to be?
Yeah, for sure, exactly. So what our goal are or what we're aiming for is eventually with this regenerative agriculture approach in potatoes, we want to get to a point where we are reducing or eliminating outside inputs, synthetic inputs, whatever that may be. And we want to be completely or mostly completely relying on nature and just the natural cycles in order to grow potatoes and make them resilient despite disease or whatever it may be. So some of the benefits that we've seen are, better water holding capacity of the soil. So we're more resilient in the face of drought or climate fluctuations. Mm. We've been able to see healthier potato plants, more disease resistant, more resilient. And there's a lot of things that we're adjusting as we go, and I think we'll still adjust them next year. But we've seen a lot of promising things happen. And I think as we continue to learn and adjust, we will see more promising things as we work more with nature versus against it.
So we did run some soil tests this summer, and one of those was, it's a company called Biomakers down in California, and they do a DNA sequencing of the microbes and the fungi, bacteria, all that stuff in the soil. And I was just looking through those results the other day, and one thing that was fascinating to me was, in the potatoes without a companion crop, as the season went along, the risk of verticillium wilt, early blight, those kinds of things was actually going up. And in those strips that we had the companion crop, those soil-borne diseases never did show up. They were not detected in those tests, which I think is pretty cool. We can reduce the amount of soil fungicides and insecticides through that, is what that data is showing me.
So, Brad, what is the Nature Conservancy hoping to accomplish by having farmers use this model of regenerative farming?
Well, we believe that through the fewer inputs, we can create healthier economies in rural communities. In Ladd's instance, he is at the head of what we call the wind erosion corridor, where every spring when the soil is bare, we get really bad dust storms due to the wind. And through these practices, we can pretty much eliminate that. The wind erosion will be gone. There is a climate change aspect to this, which is a big concern of mm-hmm. nature conservancies. And it's just healthier soil makes healthier food. So there is also a food, I wouldn't say a food safety aspect, but a food nutrition aspect to this as well.
So, Ladd, you as a farmer, what are your long-term goals when it comes to regenerative farming and this partnership with the Nature Conservancy?
Yeah, so I think most farmers, most of the time, they want to produce what the consumer demands. It's a supply and demand. And we're seeing a big shift in consumers moving more towards sustainable or regenerative products. And I do not see that going away. I see that as continuing. So my goal as a farmer is I want to approach these potatoes regeneratively. So we want to approach them in a holistic or a natural way, where we're relying more on nature. And it still produces potatoes with good yields and good quality. But at the same time, we're benefiting the soil and ecosystems, and we're able to show the consumers that, hey, this is how we're doing it. This is how we're doing it in a regenerative way. It's benefiting the environment, the ecosystem, the soil, and it's a win-win for everybody. It's a win-win for the consumer, for the farmer, for the soil, for nature. So our end goal is really to get to a point where we are very just dependent and working together with nature to produce a wonderful potato crop that will go to the consumer, and we'll be able to show those things that we've been able to do in order to accomplish that.
Well, I think this is just a really fascinating topic. And Brad, before we wrap up, is the Nature Conservancy hoping to bring more farmers into this this practice?
Yeah, so we are part of a $55 million grant that was awarded to the University of Idaho. It was called the Climate Smart Grant. Now we call it IAMP. With this, we hope that we, through Ladd's demonstration farm, kind of use that as a learning hub. And then we will engage with other farmers around him and place them into this Climate Smart Grant, and we can then pay them per acre to do these practices while they figure it out and get proficient at it, if we ever get proficient at it. But with that, then we'd like to actually see something similar to what Ladd's doing up in the Magic Valley, and maybe one out in eastern Idaho towards Rexburg or Ashton in that area, and do the same model there, where we have the one center that we're testing everything out and learning. And then we take those practices out to the neighboring farmers and implement those practices.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.